You are tuned into the Bishop Hankerson Show. Every time I turn around, God is blessing me.
Well, welcome to the program, everybody. What a blessing, privilege, and honor it is to be able to share with you the unsearchable riches of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I also want to thank you in your patience to all of our regular viewers that are used to seeing us at 6 o'clock on Sunday night. Thank you for allowing us to come on later and you're still here. I see you, Deacon Colts. I see you, Campbell Timmons. I see all of you. God bless you, Amber Taylor, and everyone that is watching. We appreciate you so much, and thank God for your continued support of the ministry. Of course, we've had a wonderful day all day. This morning, I preached from the subject here at Life Center International Church of God in Christ from the subject, "My faith is on trial, but I'm going to win this case." There may have been some other cases that you may have lost in life, but understand, when your faith is on trial, you're going to win this case. Not only that, but this afternoon we preach at the Blow Your Trumpet Healing and Deliverance Ministry, where the administrative assistant Marcus O. Mickles is the senior pastor. And our subject was, "You're not going to move me from my assignment. I know what God has assigned me to do, and you may try to break me, but it's not going to work. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." And here we are to encourage you tonight, even though we're in a time of consecration and a time of prayer, to know that just because you pray doesn't mean that you're not going to come up under attack, but you must keep on praying. So thank God for you. Please understand that we did, of course, use the mechanism tonight that does not have the music on it to open us up due to the fact that there is the most unholy, evil, notorious algorithm on Facebook that will change and switch on you for no reason whatsoever. I mean, they will shut you off. And we've experienced that this week on other webcasts that we have been on. Say the wrong thing, they'll shut you off. Play the music, and they don't understand all of the, whether you have the, I'm trying to watch my words because they listen to every single thing you say. If you don't have the right paperwork, they will cut you off. And so we do ask that you please follow the directions at the bottom of the screen. Please follow those directions for those of you that do internet ministry and webcasts. If you notice those words at the bottom of the screen, if you say those words too much, they will also shut you off, and they will also place you down at the bottom of the barrel. So I'm simply saying this: look what you see on the bottom of the screen. What do you see there? I see four words. What do the words say, Hankerson? I'm not going to say them because I want you to actually do what you see right down there. But today we're going to encourage you to know that just because you pray doesn't mean that you're not going to come up under attack, but you must keep on praying. So let's pray right now. Father, thank you for this opportunity to share your word and bless everyone that listens to this word. And thank you for our faithful viewing audience. And in this time where there's so much going on in the church realm, we just thank you, God, that you are the joy and the lifter up of our head. Now bless now in Jesus' name. Let all the people say, thank God. Amen. God bless your hearts. God bless your hearts. Please don't forget, Pentecost is coming up next Sunday, May the 23rd. And at 6 o'clock p.m., we're all heading to the city of Kansas City, Missouri. There where the Missouri Midwest Ecclesiastical Jurisdiction of the Church of God in Christ, where there are over 61 congregations making up this great aggregation of the Lord's people. We will be having our annual Pentecost day worship service, 6 o'clock p.m. May 23rd at the Christian Tabernacle Church of God in Christ at 7405 Paseo Boulevard. And the Bishop Todd Hall is our guest speaker, and God is going to be using him in a tremendous manner. You don't want to miss it. That's right. Pilgrimage to Pentecost, and we're on the way. Listen, and please also don't forget to support our presiding bishop leading us in prayer every Tuesday and Friday. And we are continuing on this week with the music department and the youth department. And Bishop is not just putting us out there to pray. He's actually leading the prayer himself. And you don't know what it did for my heart when I heard the presiding bishop on Friday crying out to God and he called my name. My God, that really meant something to me to have the leader to, because, you know, as leaders, we're always praying for everybody else. But when you have somebody that will call out your name in prayer that you're under and that you're looking to for leadership, it does mean a whole lot. And so truly, I'm thankful for that prayer. But let's go to the Word of God right now as we talk from this subject. Look at what the text says in Luke 2, verse 34 through 35. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Now, that's talking about the things that Jesus is going to do and have to endure. But notice what he says in verse 35. This is kind of deep. Mary, I know that you're a praying, consecrated woman, but understand this. A sword is going to pierce through thy own soul that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And that's quite interesting, because if you look at Luke chapter 1, verse 46, skip back one block to the first chapter of Luke and look at verse 46. Some people call this the Magnificat. Many theologians call it that. And this is where Mary is really praising prophetically. This is a prophetic praise she's given to God. In Luke 1:46, it says, and Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations are going to call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. And he has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has hope in his servant Israel, and in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. So there, Bishop Washington, it's good to see you, and God bless you. Appreciate you. And Taylor Shantae, God bless your heart as well. All those that are chiming in, I thank God for you. I see you and I appreciate you so much. And I do ask that you would do what it says at the bottom of the screen. I'm not going to use those words, because the most unholy, grotesque algorithm is out there. The mean man, the boogeyman is out there. So in order to avoid the boogeyman, which is the algorithm, please do what's at the bottom of your screen. Those that are tuning in, appreciate you so much. But Mary is magnifying God. I believe when she had a Hammond B3 organ and a track and some drums and some bongos and percussion section, she would have been crisscrossing and dancing backwards like Shirley Caesar and everything. She's just magnifying God. But Simeon lets her know, hold on, Mary. Don't hold on just a minute. A sword is going to pierce your soul. Now, that's one thing. I had something happen the other day. I have a little cut here on my finger. I was trying to open up, this is funny, a can of pork and beans, because I was trying to make some baked beans for the family. And listen, just stay with, okay, just don't ask any questions. Just stay with the subject. And so trying to get that can open some kind of way, I pushed my thumb down the wrong way, and there's a little cut that's here. And so, of course, that hurt. And many of us are the type that we don't like to have shots. I mean, if you try to give me a shot, it's going to be a challenge on your hands. And I remember being in the hospital and they were trying to find a vein. We can't find a vein. I said, you better find something pretty soon, because I'm getting sick and tired of you keep on poking me like you're doing. I don't like needles in the first place. And I'm trying to be nice, but be careful. So we don't like all of this that is occurring, all of this that happens. But can you imagine, not your thumb, not your arm, but can you imagine your soul being cut with a sword? Now, that's deep, because when you talk about your soul being pierced through with a sword, you're talking about your emotions. You're talking about your inner being. You're talking about your thoughts and the reasoning and the intents of your heart, your mind. All of that is being pierced. It's one thing to have your body pierced with a sword, but he says a sword is going to pierce your own soul. Mary, I know you're consecrated. I know you're praying. Person. I know that the Lord chose you out of everybody else to birth the Messiah, to bring him into the world. But please understand, just because you pray doesn't mean that you're going to not come under attack, but you got to keep on praying. Look at Acts chapter 1, 13 through 14. Let's look a few years later, probably 33 and a half or more years later. It says in Acts 1, 13 through 14, Mary didn't give up. It says, and they would come in, they went up into the upper room where both Peter and James and John, God bless you, inner circle, Andrew, you know, Brother Peter, Philip, and Thomas, all of y'all, Bartholomew, and I like saying that name, Bartholomew, and Matthew, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. All of that is great. But it says, and actually the half-brothers of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, well, no, that's not them right there. That's not them right there. And Judas, the brother of James, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. Now, that's great right there, but let's keep reading. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. All right. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing that after 33 and a half years of enduring everything that she endured, she is there in the upper room on the day of Pentecost and in the days preceding the day of Pentecost and crying out to God in prayer. That's an example for us. Just because you pray doesn't mean that you're not going to come under attack, but you need to keep on praying. And look at Mary. She ended up getting filled. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. If you look at the text, I want us to kind of look over some things as we look at this text. And I wish I had my notes to give to you all like I used to do years ago. I used to give out my notes, but it got a little out of hand. It got a little out of hand and things like that. I won't tell you everything that was happening, but it got out of hand. As a matter of fact, one day somebody said, you got to preach about your notes, Hankerson. So, but notice, Mary is 18 years old. She has Savior Jesus Christ and gives birth to him. She didn't have any choice as far as who to marry. And that really was the culture of that particular time. You know, the father could come and say, hey, a young man, and his family is well off, and for our family to do a little bit better, this is who your house is going to be. Mary didn't have any choice. You know, this Disneyland fairy tale princess thing, and the reason I mentioned that, family sat down the other day, and finally, after all these years, I saw Princess, I think that's the name of it, Princess and the Frog. In everything. And of course, you know, since our daughter is home from college for summer break, I said, okay, because I'm not going to sit up there and watch no Princess, no Frog by myself. Somebody passed by on the TV. I'm watching the Princess and the Frog. So I told Raquel, well, since you're here, we can take a look at it. But that's not how life is. And that's not how things were during that particular time. During that particular time, what ended up happening was there was no choice as far as we were to marry. So she leaves her father's house and goes straight to her husband's house. And most families, the little girls, as they came up, they would not get the opportunity to learn how to read and things like that. They would be taught how to do domestic work. That was their particular job that they were supposed to do. The only thing that she really had going for her was Jesus. Hey, glory, I felt that. I dare somebody touch yourself and say, the only thing I have going for me is Jesus. As long as I got him, everything else is going to work out. That's a sermon right there. So Supervisor Brown, I see you. So thank you for your support. So even though she didn't have all of these things like education and a choice of husband and a choice of where to live, and she went from her father's house straight to her husband's house, that's one of the reasons she was rejoicing in Luke chapter 1, because she could say, listen, I may not have all these other things, but the one thing that I have going for me, I'm going to magnify because I got Jesus. That's the one thing that I have is going to definitely be a blessing, not only to my life, but to others. But then this, I won't call him a black man, but you know what I'm saying? Then this guy comes along and basically says, he's going to be taken from you. Look at Luke chapter 1. Behold, this child is set for the fall and rise again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. So imagine Mary, all she has going for her is Jesus. You know, at the age of 12, they're kind of like, okay, what's going on? Well, don't you know I must be about my father's business? Irritating, but not devastating. Hey, that's a message. That's another message. I guess we're ready for a 30-day revival or something. Irritating, but not devastating. There's some things in life that are going to be irritating, but it's not going to devastate you. My God. So the fact that they had gone a day's journey, had come back and find Jesus, it was irritating, but it wasn't devastating. However, once Jesus entered into his ministry at the age of 30, it was somewhat devastating because by that time, Joseph wasn't on the scene. It's assumed that he had passed away. And so she being a widow, it is assumed, again, I'm assuming, and most scholars assume, and you don't normally do that with the text, okay? Because normally where the scripture is silent, you stay silent. But let's just allege that Joseph has passed away by this particular time. And whatever happened to him, if he left, if he died, if he whatever, please understand that, and of course, we know there's a lot going on in the national right now, so I got you all giving me messages and everything while I'm talking. But nevertheless, as we look at that, if however it was that he disappeared, we just know he disappeared. So let's just say he's gone. When the husband is gone, then the oldest son is supposed to be the one that takes care of everything. And so they send a message, you know, Jesus, your father, I mean, not your father, but your mother and brothers and sisters out here, and they want to talk to you. And he looks, who is my mother? Now, that would have been a slap right there. Who, but to me, you know, coming up, who is my mother? Who are my brothers and sisters? Whoever does the will of the Father is my mother and father and brothers and sisters. Now, of course, I know y'all say that Jesus was black. Y'all say that his family was black and everybody in the Bible was black. But I don't see, you know, Middle Eastern, yes, black. I don't know whether I see that or not, because you're not going to have a child talk to a black child talk to a black mother like that. Tell me, who is my mother, brother and sister? Because let me tell you what, with me coming up and with some of you right now, you'd have said, well, there's a revival going on. You can't, no, the revival is over. Everybody get out. Everybody get out. Imagine a black parent hearing something like that. Everybody get up. Revival's over. Blessed be the tie that bind till we meet again. Till we meet, I'm turning this. We haven't taken it off. I don't care if you haven't taken it off yet. He's not going to talk to me like that. We're going to have a personal revival right here, right now. And so can you imagine the hurt and the disappointment? And I know that we talk about the cultural difference and things like that. However, I don't care about the difference in culture. I don't care about the difference in time. One thing I've learned traveling around the world, people are people. I don't care what language they speak. I don't care what nationality they are. I don't care what ethnicity they are. People are people, and people hurt. People have things that make them happy. They have things that make them sad. And that would really hurt you that you raised this child. And this is supposed to be the one that takes care of the family once the father is no longer on the scene. And he's like, hey, you know, I'm about my father's business. And who is my father and mother? And so perhaps that's the reason why there was that resentment with Jesus's brothers, because his half brothers, because, you know, hey, you're supposed to be taking care of the family. You're out preaching, talking about I'm coming to seek and to save that which was lost. No, what about these lost bills that we're dealing with? What about these lost expenses that we're handling? You know, what about these lost responsibilities that we have in this house? And so really, it wasn't until after Jesus was resurrected from the dead that his brethren believed on him and the family went on and embraced the faith. So imagine all you have is Jesus, and then all of this takes place. And then you have to sit and watch people. This is your child now. This is your child. I'm talking to a father and a mother, because I know we talk about there's nothing like a mother's love, but I mean a real father that's really concerned about their children. We may not show it, we may not express it, but I tell you what, it burns us up when we see our children hurt. You know, we may not sit, because I'm not a crier. I'm not. That's just not going to happen. I'll sit there and watch you and I'll pray for you. But as far as being someone to sit down and cry with, that's just not in my DNA. The one time I really did break down was when my daughter was taken to that prom. I told the young man, I said, you bring her back like you found her. And if not, I tell you what, I'm going to get my gun and I'm going to deal with it. Lady Hank, don't say that. I can't believe you told him that. Don't even have a cap gun to shoot, but I'll find something. Don't even know how to shoot a gun. I shoot all over the trees or whatever like that. But young man took her out, and when she went out that door, I mean, I cried like a baby. I said, that's my baby girl, and she's going on this prom. You'd have thought it was the end of the world. The rest of the family's looking like, really? This is a she's just going to the prom. She's not going across seas or anything like that. It's not like you won't see her in a few hours, you know. But just, I know that we say that there's nothing like a mother's love, but just look at, just as a parent, seeing your child that is now a grown man being rejected by the people that are supposed to be his closest allies, seeing him betrayed by his own treasurer, Judas, seeing all the disciples that he's poured his life and heart and soul into, You know, you may not have fully understood everything that he's doing. It's not making all kind of sense. The scripture says that his family thought he was beside himself, thought that there was something kind of going on. But nevertheless, you see his dedication. You see his genuineness. You see his compassion. You see the fact that all he wants to do is help out other people. And they're going to all turn on him like this. And then the Romans are just going to, you know, make sport of him, spit at him, and whip him and beat him. I'm going to tell you, as a parent, you would definitely have to have Jesus in you to see something like that and be able to endure that. Because your average person, that's why I say, if this was some black folks, I'm telling you, there'd have been a personal riot. You might have said, well, you're not going to make no difference just you running out there against those Romans. I tell you what, I may not do much, but I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to knock one out in the gut or something. I'm going to grab something and, well, I'm not, you know, I have to watch it. I don't want all of that gore and grotesque language for the unholy algorithm to hear all of that and then knock the program down. But imagine that she had to endure that and watch that. Watch her son suffer, bleed, and then look up there and see as he took his last breath. Now, that would have been enough right there. Like, you know, it's one thing to die. It's one thing to see your loved one die, but to see the suffering that they had to go through and to hear them say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, and then bow their head and give up the ghost and say, into your hands I commit my spirit. That just would have been enough to, you know, that person lose faith altogether. But Mary did not lose her faith. And so I want us to look at her life. And basically, I want you to see that just because you pray, it doesn't mean that you're not going to have wounds. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have disappointments. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have hurt. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have all of these things. Praying does not make us life proof. You can put that in the comments. Praying does not make you life proof. You still have to deal with life like everyone else. But nevertheless, you have a covering, you have strength, you have a shelter that will carry you through those difficult times that other people don't have. What do you mean I have a shelter? God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in the time of trouble. He that dwelleth in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress. He's my God, and in him will I trust. That's what you have. It does. What do you need a fortress for? What do you need a shelter for? What do you need a refuge for if there's not, the boogeyman is not outside? And when I say the boogeyman, I'm talking about basically life itself. And not only life itself, but just the attacks that you receive from the adversary because you're in the will of God. So understand, as a saint, you have to really deal with three different things. Your average person, let's just say a sinner, a person that's never received Christ as Lord and Savior, they have to deal with life. As a believer, as a saint of the Most High God, you have to deal with life. Plus, your faith is going to come up under trial. Plus, if you're in ministry, your ministry is going to be tried in the fight. So really, it's three different things. And that's why Jesus said, now Jesus looked and said, now I know you all are giving altar calls and talking about come to Jesus just now. And I know you all are saying, you know, all these great things are going to happen if you give your life to the Lord. But let me give an altar call this way. Let me show you how to do an altar call. You need to count up the costs and understand what it is that you're getting yourself into, because no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. So it's important that you understand what you're getting yourself into. And so that's why I say, especially for evangelists, you never want to just preach a prosperity, happy-go-lucky, and prosperity is of God. God wants us to prosper. You're not always going to have all of the money in the world. But what I'm saying is, many times people will give a prosperous type of message. You know, all your problems are going to be solved. Everything is going to be okay. All of that wonderful thing, all those wonderful things are going to happen. Now, who wants to be saved? Who wouldn't want to, you know, offer like that? That's an offer you can't refuse. But Jesus said it this way: if you're going to give an altar call, explain to people, whoever follows me must take up their cross daily and follow me. He gave all of that warning. He did not just give an invitation. He gave that warning. Whoever comes after me and is not willing to put me in front of father, mother, brother, sister, houses and lands and all that, you're not even worthy of me. And there were some people Jesus told, you know, I'm going to follow you. I want to follow you. Like the man from Decapolis that the demons were cast out. He said, no, you just stay right here where you are and tell the people what great things. And he gave one man an opportunity, and this man could have possibly been one of his closest followers. And he said, tell you what, sell all you have, give money to the poor, and come and follow me. What? What you say? Not my investments. No. All the property I have? No. Do you know how long it took my family to get all that wealth from generation to generation? And now you're talking about just sell it all just like that, kaput, and come and follow you? Oh, no, he went away grieved. He was not happy at all. He was not a happy camper. But Jesus explained, just because you consecrate, just because you give yourself to me, you must understand there's a cross that has to be borne by you. Now, in the military, this would be called basically a wounded veteran. There's going to be wounds and things that happen. What happens to some of the veterans after they come back from warfare? There's post-traumatic stress disorder. Sometimes there's loss of limbs. Sometimes there's terminal diseases. Because maybe, I remember my grandfather, my late grandfather was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force, and he was there when the bombs dropped at Nagasaki and what was the other place? Hiroshima. He was in the close vicinity, I'll say it like that. And as a result of kind of being close to that, he didn't pass away from cancer, but he did have some eye issues and eye trouble that he dealt with, because when these chemicals go out in the atmosphere, you just don't know what kind of experience you're going to have, even though you're a part of the military team that was the one that sent out these attacks. And so sometimes there's terminal diseases. There's economic challenges. There's a lot of veterans that come back from war and they're out on the street. Readjustment to civilian life. I've seen that because, again, I come from a military family, and civilian life and military life is totally different from each other. And sometimes there's abuse that happens. There's abuse that may have happened out in the field, and things that you can't even really talk about and express. And maybe 20 years later that you are finally expressing these things that have happened. So we must understand, if we're going to say I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, do we really understand all of what goes along with being that? You know, I got my war clothes on in the army of the Lord, and we just singing and happy and just patting and clapping and tapping our feet and all of that in our war clothes on. Got my war clothes on. Yeah, but do you understand that there's a fight out there? Do you understand you're not just going to look good in your military uniform, but there's a literal fight for your life and for the souls of humanity that you automatically become a part of and that you're enlisted in? And this is what happened with Mary. Mary was wounded. Mary was wounded, but she was warned about it. She was warned through sin that this was going to happen. Again, Simeon, he blessed him and he talked about Jesus, but he said, Mary, I want you to know a sword is going to pierce your soul through your own soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. A sword is going to pierce through your soul, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And right now, the thoughts of our hearts are being revealed as we look at the sword that ended up piercing Mary's heart. Here's what the Bible has to say, and people have to remember. I mean, preachers, I know that we shy away from preaching messages like this because it seems like it discourages people. No, I come to church to be uplifted. I come. Yeah, all of that, that's wonderful. But you must be warned also, Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth out of him out of them all. Now, we love that part, deliverance, but we don't like the part afflictions. All right. Mark chapter 9. And let's look at 31st verse. For he taught his disciples, said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. We love the fact that he rose Sunday morning. But look at all of the abuse that he suffered leading up to that. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. And so thank God for the way of escape. But please know that the testing, it does come. Mary saw all of these things that happened, but guess what? She won this battle. She won it. She had carried through. Her faith carried her through. She went on to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. God warned her that personally, you are going to come under attack. You are going to be wounded. But if you maintain your faith, the hearts of many people. Their thoughts are going to be revealed, and you're going to be a blessing to all people. The gift of the Holy Ghost provided the peace that she needed to heal the wounds that she had received. Because imagine this. Now, I talked about the fact, and God bless all of you on Instagram. I do see you, appreciate you. I talked about the fact that she had saw her son suffer, bleed, die, and arise. Whew, thank God he's risen from the dead. He's Lord, he's Savior. This is just wonderful. I have my son with me. What did you say, Jesus? He said, I'm going away. What? Wait a minute. Wait. If I don't go away, the comforter will not come. Yeah, I know that you said that to the disciples. Well, he led them as far as Bethany and lifted up his hands, and then he was taken away. Now, that's almost, you can imagine for her emotionally and personally and as a parent, that would almost be the same as someone passing away, because now they've gone physically. You're not going to see them again in that manner, because the angel said in Acts chapter 1, two men basically said, in life, we're gonna make the devil, and I know that that's not the devil. I know that that's the internet cuts up and acts up and all those things. But you know, I just feel like calling it the devil. I'll say it like that. Sometimes I just do preemptive strikes. I told you all before that one time one of the elders of the church was riding with me. I said, "Oh, come out of here, Satan! You old no good devil! You low down rascal!" Elder got scared because he's like, Lord, are we about to get in a crash? What's going on? What's happening? I said, nothing's going on. I said, that's just a preemptive strike. Normally, wait till he does something and then talk about, you know, I rebuke the devil, I rebuke you, Satan, and all of that. I don't wait till anything happens. I just throw out a preemptive strike just because I feel like it and just let him know. Wherever you're lurking around, I know you're up to something. I know you're up to no good. I know you're trying to concoct something up, you know, and try to detour me and detract me and everything before you even try to throw it at me. I'm going to bind you up right now, you know, good rascal. So that's how I feel about the devil. But imagine that, you know, you finally see that your son has arisen from the dead. That's a blessing. And now he talks about he's ascending on high and going to leave us power. What do you mean you're going to leave me power? I don't just want no power. I want my son to be here. That's what I want. You know, I want my family to be together. You know, we already don't have Joseph. We don't have Joseph in the picture, and now I'm not leaving, you know. But he said, listen, you receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And this woman of God in Acts chapter 2, verse 4, gets baptized and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, my friends, I want you to know and I want you to understand that there is nobody like Jesus. Even though all of these situations hurt Mary, in his life was a blessing in one way, and then it was painful in another way, it still was a tremendous fact that God allowed her to be used like he did. I know that this is a different way of talking about Mary. We normally talk about her during the Christmas season and all, but I want you to know that she's also a part of the narrative of the day of Pentecost. So we always talk about that. Mary gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem of Judea, and that's wonderful and fine, and jingle bells and ding dong, well, that's a whole different song, not Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, but I heard the bells on Christmas Day and all of that, all those songs that we sing. However, I want you to know that she's also a part of this powerful narrative as we're in this Pentecost season where the saints of God were filled with the Holy Ghost. It says Mary was there praying with the saints. She was there praying with them and in prayer with them, along with the rest of the family members and all of the apostles. And they cried out to God. And they cried out for those 10 days, stopped to have a little business meeting. You know, they did what they had to do. But nevertheless, they continued. The Bible says that they continued in prayer. So it was a constant prayer meeting that was taking place. Matter of fact, verse 14 of Acts 1, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication, just crying out to God and believing God and trusting God. And then next thing you know, they're like, goodness, won't y'all close that window? Won't you close that window? My goodness, we ain't got no window open, Mary. There's no window open here. What, is the air conditioner on or something? No, you know there's no air conditioner. No such thing as air conditioner. What is air conditioner? Well, is there a fan on? Now, you know good and well, we don't even have any fans. What is a fan? What is an electrical fan? I hear a rushing mighty wind. And not only that, it smells like something's burning in here. Did someone leave the stove on? No, we don't have no stove. What about the microwave? Did you burn some popcorn or something? Popcorn, what is popcorn? What is a microwave? Those things aren't going to be invented until hundreds of years from now. We don't know anything about that. I smell something. Wait a minute, you on fire. What do you mean I'm on fire? You on fire too. Well, what you hollering at me for? Everybody's on fire. There's fire sitting on everybody's head. And all of us said, what's that? What are you saying? I don't even, what kind of language are you talking? You sound like you're talking Spanish or something. What's wrong with you? And they're talking, well, I can't understand you because it sounds like you're talking some kind of Portuguese or something. I don't know what it is. Of course, all these different languages get, you know, evolved down through the years eventually. But literally, that's what happens. The day of Pentecost happens, and suddenly there's the sound of a rushing mighty wind, fills all the house, there appears unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, sitting upon each of them, and they're all filled with the Holy Ghost, and begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gives them utterance. And you can imagine that the whole community is stirred up 9 o'clock in the morning, and the people begin to mock Mary. Talking about, oh, Mary, don't you weep. Mary, you need to quit drinking. You're up in there drunk. And drunk with all them guys in there. And they're drunk also. And all you supposed to be holy women, you all up there drunk. You're supposed to be a sanctified and holy people. And you drunk this time of the morning. Peter had to explain to them, no, we're not drunk as ye suppose. Now, we got something here. Something is going on. Something, but let me explain what this something. Hey, thank you, Lord. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I got something within me that holdeth the rain. Something within me that banishes pain. Something within me I cannot explain, but all that I know is that there is something within. And I want you to know that you can have that same something within as well. And that's the invitation that Peter gave on that great day of Pentecost when they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now, don't you all get mad at me. I'm just quoting the scripture. I'm not getting into no doctrinal dispute or anything like that, but I can quote the Bible now. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to your children's children and to all them that are far off. And with many other words, he did exhort them. And to that day, on that day, 3,000 souls were added unto the church. That's a good place to give God praise right there. And I'm going to stop because I've been going all day. And I feel the fire burning. I feel the fire burning in my soul in spite of everything that the body of Christ, even at the Church of God in Christ, may be facing at this time. So many deaths and sickness and disease. I want you to know, I want the devil to know, we're not going to stop praying. We're not going to stop praying. If anything, we're going to intensify it. And that's what you ought to do. You ought to intensify it. Let Satan know, oh, okay, you upset because I'm consecrating a little bit more and praying a little bit more. Oh, you haven't seen nothing yet. You're not going to stop me. You're not going to stop me. You may slow me down. You may discourage me. I may shed a tear every now and then. Hey, glory to God, and get a little down. But I'm telling you one thing, glory. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop. I wish somebody would lift your hand and say that right now. I'm not going to stop. And then take them fingers and put it down in that comment section and begin to confess that right now. Don't stop. No, don't do that. The devil hear what you say. The devil hears what you're saying, and he hears when your mouth is closed as well. We ain't saying nothing over there. So it's not the Soviet Union and the KGB and all of that. Don't say too much because they got everything but. Hey, I want you to know. you got it bugged every place, Satan. I want you to know. I want you to know, I've been through the fire, I've been through the flood. All I got is Jesus. That's what Mary said, basically, that's all she had, that's all I have. And then you're gonna take him away, and he's gonna get crucified, and he's gonna ascend on high, and I could just say it's over? No, let me tell you what, I'm gonna go to Jerusalem. And I'm gonna tarry until I get filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Don't have a whole lot of commentary on Mary's life, but one thing I know, she was in that upper room on the day of Pentecost and got filled. It says they were all filled. Kesha. And began to speak. Woo! In other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I'm going to stop because I feel that language rising up right now. I feel that language rising up right now. Anybody that does not know Jesus in the pardoning of your sins, simply stop what you're doing right now and confess your sins unto him and confess him as Lord and Savior. Say, Lord Jesus, I've messed up in my life, but I ask you right now to take this mess, take my life, and I place it into your hands. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. You were buried in the grave and arose the third day. Now, Jesus, I invite you into my heart, and I receive the gift of salvation. I receive the gift of eternal life. And I ask that you would do for me like what was done for Mary on the day of Pentecost. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I'll give you the praise. I'll give you the honor. I'll give you the glory. I'll clap my hands. I'll stomp my feet. I'll testify. I'll tell a dying world. I'll run and tell everybody that no one can do me like you. And I thank you even right now. In Jesus' name, thank God. Amen. Give God the praise for this opportunity to receive his word. And as we close, don't forget, we'll be back on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock p.m. And then on Thursday night, same time. And so many great things are happening. So listen, I definitely want you to keep us in prayer and make sure that you send a love token as well. Make sure that you send a love token. The giving information is at the bottom of the screen. And you can give by Cash App, Givelify, or PayPal. Also, we have Tithely. Now, you can find that on the website, lifecenterintl.org. All right. May the Lord bless you real good and don't you ever forget.